Yo, what an amazing time. Say, Gunther, it's all right. We all do it for you. We all do it. So last week, Orion preached one of the most powerful preachers I've heard on dying to live in a long time. Did a great job. So if you haven't listened to it, it's on the webpage, on the website. It's Josh Jenn, under sermons, under Pioneers PM. Go listen to it, please. And so he spoke about dying to live last week. And the cross is the victory of Christ. So when he died on the cross, he conquered sin, he conquered death. He went to hell, he came back for you and for me. That's what Ryan was preaching about last week, and how we need to die to ourselves daily in order to become like Christ. And that, and it's not like we giving up our lives. He is given up. He's given us his life. And so, great, great preach. Please go listen to it. I want to build on that tonight with a topic that you normally hear at Easter time, but it's not Easter, but I'm going to do it anyways. Because I think it's the fundamental hinge of all Christianity. And if we don't really understand it, I think we're going to miss some things. And so let me ask you a question. What makes Jesus different from the other prophets or messiahs that have lived to walk this earth? What makes him different? What makes him, he's alive? What makes him different? If you weren't a believer in Christ, what would make Jesus any different to Muhammad or to Joseph Smith? Or to Buddha, or to the Hare Krishna gods, there's 10,000 of them or something like that. He called himself God? Born as a king? Salvation? We're getting there, we're getting closer. There's one thing. He died for us. There's one more thing. He rose again. There's not one man that has ever lived this earth that's called himself some religious leader or some messiah or someone pointing to God other than Jesus Christ, who came and called himself God to die for us, who rose again on the third day. That is what changes. That's the game changer for me. Go look at every other religion. I studied theology for 4 years. I got a degree in theology. I know I look like a hillbilly, but I got a little bit of intelligence. A little bit. I did 4 years of full-time biblical studies, and we went through every. There's no other religious leader on earth that said the things that Jesus said and did the things that Jesus did. And C.S. Lewis said, if he said the things he did and he wasn't what he is, it's like pretty much like a poached egg, basically. And so the resurrection of Christ is the most fundamental Christian theological principle that we need to have in our hearts and our minds and in our understanding. Otherwise, everything else falls flat. Amen to that balloon. Jesus said in John 11, verses 25 and 26, I am the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in me, though he die, he shall live. And everyone who lives and believes in me shall never die. Do you believe this? So Ryan spoke about dying to live. We die so that we can live. Jesus didn't die to die. He died to live. thank you. Someone said it was quite good. I thought so too. It's like, but from the beginning, there was a conspiracy. In Matthew 28, from verse 11, I think, is 11 to 15. You can just roll it. Jesus dies. The angel comes. The stone is rolled away. The tomb is empty. The disciples don't even go read it. The disciples haven't even thought that he had risen again. And from the beginning, there is this conspiracy, there's this cover-up. While they were going, behold, some of the gods went into the city and told the chief priests that all that had taken place. So told them about the angels and the everything. And then it goes on to say, and when they had assembled with the elders and taken counsel, they gave a sufficient sum of money to the soldiers and said, tell the people, his disciples came by night and stole him away while we were asleep. And if this came out to the governor's ears, he would satisfy him and keep you out of trouble. So they took the money and did as they were directed. And the story has been spread among the Jews to this day. So sad. That moment that can define Christian history was robbed from the beginning. Why? Because that is the thing that separates us from the world, that separates Jesus from everybody else. He is the King of Glory. He is the only Savior. You go, one person, my wife is excited. The rest of you are like, maybe I went too hard too quickly. I don't know. And so, if the cross is the victory, the resurrection is the triumph. Okay, yeah, like two more people. We're getting there. We're getting there. We're going to go Pentecostal tonight. If the cross is the victory, then the resurrection is the triumph. What is it? Yes, we're getting there. What is the triumph? What is the triumph? That we don't have to die anymore. We get to live. Yay. But not just scrape through. We're not called to just scrape through. We're called to live in abundance. So, thank you, babes. You are doing very well at your... And a triumph is a great achievement. We achieve something that in ourselves is impossible. None of us can live forever without Jesus. None of us can change from the inside out. Change of mind, change of heart, change of action, change of the way we speak. None of us can do that on ourselves because we've fallen sinful human beings. Without God, we are nothing. Without Jesus' death and resurrection, we cannot live an abundant life. Thank you. Thanks, Ants. Come on, let's go. Let's go. Listen to Romans 8:11. This is one of the most powerful verses in the Bible for me in the New Testament. If the spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead, guys, think, wrap your minds around this. The only man who's ever gone to hell, come back, got the keys of death and Hades, conquered Satan and all his scheming, that spirit who raised Jesus from the dead is in who? Come on! If you believe in Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, and you've surrendered everything to him, and you become a disciple of him, the spirit that rose Jesus from the grave and took him off the cross is in you. Like, I'm shouting too much. I'm sorry. I just got excited, okay? What a great achievement that we live because he lives. Your eternity. For the Spirit of God lives, dwells in you. He who raised Christ from the dead, he will also give life to your mortal bodies through his Spirit who dwells in you. That is one of the most powerful scriptures that we could read as New Testament, Bible-believing, Spirit-filled, God-glorifying Christians. Oh. And so we die so that we can live this abundant life. John 10 verses 10. It's very famous. We probably have all heard it in our lives. The thief comes only to steal, kill, and destroy. But Jesus says, I have come that you may have life and have it abundantly. So, this is where he's going to get exciting. He's not going, I've given you life so you can just battle the rest of your life and just get into heaven just like just on your belly. He's come to give us life of abundance. And now most of you, when I say the word abundance, you'll be thinking of finances, big houses, nice cars, nice shoes, nice watches. No, it's not preach it. That's not what that word means. You, who was that? I'll rebuke you. No, I'm just kidding. I'm kidding. I don't rebuke you. I promise. Abundance just basically means this. In that context, it means beyond, a little bit extraordinary, in a manner marked by a great quantity or degree, special advantage, or exceptional. So it could mean all those things that I've listed, but that's where our brains go first. So like the whole prosperity gospel, which is nonsense. It centers around us getting stuff on this earth. It's got no meaning to us because that stuff will just be left behind. We come into the world naked, we're going to leave the world naked. We don't take anything with us except for the Spirit of God who lives in us. Sorry, my 4x4 will die on earth somewhere, rusting in the book. Right amount. Don't love it that much. Augustine is quoted in saying this. To the Pinehurst guys, I've used this before, so just bear with me. It says, to fall in love, the meaning of life for me is this. To fall in love with God is the greatest romance. To seek Him, the greatest advantage, or I'm sorry, the greatest adventure. And to find Him, the greatest human achievement. And so the purpose for abundant life is to fall in love with this God who loved us first while we are still sinners. He died for us. To seek Him, the greatest adventure. I love adventure. But to seek God is one of the greatest human adventure achievements that we could ever do in our lives. Oh. And to find Him, the greatest triumph. C.T. Studd said this, only one life. It will soon pass. Only what's done for Christ will last. So Christ has come to give us life of abundance. We die to ourselves so we can live for Him. I've got three handles that we can hold on to, practical things that can make our lives abundant in Christ. Because like it doesn't just come for free. Jesus' death on the cross, it's free, but it's not cheap. Does it make sense? It's free, but it's not cheap. You know that like God's love is not unconditional. You know that. Even though everyone's saying it, I can't find a scripture in the Bible where there's no conditions to God's love. For instance, His word says, if you love me, you will what? What is that? See, His love is steadfast. In John 3:16, it's sufficient and efficient for those who love Him. It's sufficient for the whole world, for God to love the world that He gave His only Son. It's sufficient, but it's efficient for those who believe. Does it make sense? And so, when it comes to this abundant life, it's not, you go and just get an abundant life. There's some things we need to do. It's called sanctification. You've got to live this thing out with Christ, changing the inside out. Does it make sense? So, came up with an acronym to help us try, understand, like try remember this at least. Three words. It's ego. And I didn't come up with it myself. The Lord gave it to me and I was like super stoked because it looks like I'm clever, but I'm not. An ego basically stands for someone's self-esteem or self-importance. The way, if we think we're important, you've got a good ego. So it's E-G-O. Those are the 3 points, E-G-O. And just to pop some of our egos here, because some of you guys might go, I am cool, I am amazing. Isaiah 64 verses 6 is going to get me into trouble tonight. Because it says this, we have all become like one who has done clean, and all our righteous deeds are like polluted garments. And so in other words, there's no one on earth that has ever lived, remember, for all have fallen short of the glory of God in Romans. Even our best deed is like a dirty cloth. But this is where I'm going to get into trouble for. It's not just a rag that you use when you clean up your car. I cleaned my car the other day and the rags were dirty. It's not that. It's actually a bloodied used tampon is the image that Isaiah is speaking about. I know that's like, you can't say bloody tampon in church, but that is the translation. I went to the Hebrew. It's literally a bloody used tampon. Our best deeds. Think about this, guys. Our best deeds are like a bloodied tampon to Him. And so ego has to not be a part of our lives, because if we have ego, we don't have abundant life in Him. And Paul puts it like this, John puts it like this in John 3:30, He must increase and I must decrease. So the E quickly, the E for ego is this, enjoy and appreciate. 1 Thessalonians 5. Rejoice always, pray without ceasing, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. And so in order for our ego to be put on the ground, we cannot take for granted what God is doing. Who's a little bit like, to be honest with me now, who's a little bit like, oh, I don't know about this whole joining congregation thing, no one knows what's going on. Who's feeling a little bit like, come on. Am I the only one? Liars, yes. Some honest people here. We don't know what's going on. We thought we'd know what's going on coming in through the week, and we still don't know what's going on. But let's not take for granted that three congregations that met in different places, that are part of the same church, that love the same Jesus, that have the same principles, are coming together in unity and praising God together. How kiff is that? Come on. Look at the testimonies of tonight. I don't even know some of those people. That's amazing. I would never have heard their testimony if they weren't here tonight. God has saved us. If you've got a car and a medical aid and you live in a house, you top 10% of people in the world, of the richest people in the world, guys. We have so much. We have families and friends and a church that loves you. We have clothes. Thank the Lord, because it would be weird preaching naked, man. I'd feel sorry for you guys. We've got health. We've got a personality. We've got God he's doing so much. And we have to rejoice in every circumstance. We have to go, God, if this is you, I'm fully in. Otherwise, you know, the worst thing about it being a parent, and I've had this from time to time, is when my kids just want to take stuff from you all the time, and they take and they take and they take, and they never say thank you. That is the worst feeling as a dad. It's like, what? Oh, awkward, I didn't see you there. I was meaning your brother. He's not here, so we'll use him as a... I might have to just go kiss her quickly and just say I love her quickly, you know. She's emotionally damaged. It has happened though. I know you're emotionally damaged, but it has happened. Not for a long time. When you were younger. When you were much younger. Like last week. No, I'm just kidding. I'm kidding, my babes. I'm so sorry. I thought you were not in the skunk. Anyways, we digress. Running out of time here. And it just really hurts. And it's like, man, can you just appreciate that I don't have any money ever to do the things I want to do? Doesn't mean I don't love you. I love you. I mean, it's about your brother anyways, because he's not here. He's in another congregation. But have you ever experienced that? There's no gratitude. It's like, just imagine like God who gives his only son. And we don't have any gratitude. It's like, come on, guys. So the first thing for an abundant life is we have to embrace what God is doing. We have to enjoy it. We can't take for granted. Yeah, well, we'd be uncomfortable for sure. 100%. I've got so many scriptures, but I'm running out of time here. Why do we need to appreciate and enjoy him? Acknowledging all the blessings come from him fosters a closer relationship with him, shifts our perspectives from lack to provision, strengthens our faith, promotes humility, guards our hearts from negativity, brings peace, even during trials, and it recognizes his goodness and provisions in all circumstances. G, so is, enjoy and appreciate. G is generosity. You might be thinking, what does that got to do with abundant life? Well, the thing about God's kingdom is this. It's upside down from the kingdom that we live in. So the world is saying, if you want to be rich, hoard as much as you can. Don't share, don't lend, don't make money, hide it, put it in bonds so that you have a fat pension one day and you can just sit on your butt and get fat and lazy and just waste your whole later days away. That's pretty much what the world is telling us to do, right? So Jesus comes and he said, no, hold on. If you want to be rich, you've got to give all your stuff away. Think about the rich young ruler. So there's this young man, comes to Jesus, and he's like, hey, Jesus, I followed all your commandments, which he didn't because no one can, and Jesus knew this. So the one thing he didn't do, Jesus said, but are you able to sell all your possessions, and give it to the poor, and then come follow me? And what happened? We know the story? He walked away sad because he couldn't do that one thing. So generosity is a way of living abundant life. It's like Proverbs 19:17. Whoever is generous to the poor lends to the Lord, and he will repay for his good deeds. Huh. Amazing. 2 Corinthians 9. Whoever sows sparingly will reap sparingly. Acts 20:35. In all things, I've shown you by working hard in this way, we must help the weak and remember the words of the Lord Jesus Christ. He himself said, it is more blessed to give than receive. Why do we need to be generous? We need to be generous because it's driven by belief that God is the ultimate giver and that our beliefs are called to reflect his nature. So think about this. While we were enemies of him, he died for us. While we didn't want anything to have to do with him, he was praying for us. And think about it. God is a generous God. And if we become generous, like he's generous, we're actually showing the world around us his true nature. Does it make sense? So Laurie, your son's sitting in prison, right? In America right now. He's been in prison for 2 years. I've never met him. He's getting sentenced this Wednesday, the 27th, right? What I want to do, we want to pray for him. I don't know him. He's apparently come to the Lord Jesus. He's sitting in prison. He's come to the Lord Jesus. Can we pray and be generous in our prayers tonight? We've never met him, but there's a mom whose heart is broken. How long have you not seen him? More than 10 years. Can we pray as a congregation that God will do something special there? That's his generosity. In another country, sitting in prison in America, we don't know what's going to happen there, but can we pray together? What's his name? I don't even know his name. Sorry, Laurie. I don't even know his name. So I can't hear you. My bad. I can't. Chris, who? Okay. Let's pray together. And as I'm praying, just please ask the Lord to be too generous to him. Give his lawyers wisdom, even though he's owned up to what he's done. It's just, so Father, right now we want to ask that your spirit will be with Chrissy. He's probably sleeping because it's probably nighttime there, wherever he is. But Lord, that you would just fill him with your peace and your presence right now. Lord, we've never met him, don't know him, but we want to ask that you will be generous over him, Lord. That as he goes to be sentenced on Wednesday, Lord, it'll be favorable. That you will do a miracle, Lord. And we'll be quick to give you praise. But whatever happens, we believe that you're in control. And you work all things for the good of those who love you. Please, Lord. And then lastly, obedience stands for O. So it's enjoy and appreciate. Be generous, because Christ is generous. But everything that is tied up in obedience, without obedience, we don't have anything. In Deuteronomy 28, verses 1 to 2, it says this, and if you faithfully obey the voice of the Lord your God, being careful to do all his commandments that I've commanded you today, the Lord your God will set you high above all the nations of the earth. And all these blessings shall come upon you and overtake you if you obey the voice of the Lord your God. Matthew 7:21. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but the one who does the will of my Father in heaven. And so obedience is the key. Without obedience, we can't be generous and we can't enjoy him and have gratitude in him. Obedience is the key to everything. And so as we come and we lay our egos down because we want to live an abundant life, we want to break bread together, just remembering the goodness of our God. But could I ask you this? If you're in debt because you've chosen to be there, because you want nice things, that's not being obedient to God. God doesn't want us to be in debt. If husbands, if you're not loving your wife as Christ loved the church and lay down his life for him, for whatever reason, it doesn't matter what your wife has done to him, you're not being obedient to him. Wives, if you're not submitted to your husbands, it doesn't matter what he does. The Bible doesn't say if he does certain things and he lives a certain way, then you need to obey him. It says obey your husband. You're not obedient to him. If you're running away from him tonight and he's calling you to be part of his kingdom and he's calling you to put all the stuff behind you and run forward, you being obedient to him, you're not going to have an abundant life. If you're holding on to unforgiveness, you're not going to have an abundant life. Because God says, forgive. Sorry, I'm trying to smile as I say, because it's like, as it hits you. We can't, like, it's Jesus' way or no way. There's no like, I'm going to do my own thing, Jesus, and I'm going to be part of your kingdom. No, it's Jesus, I'm going to do what you want me to do because I'm obeying you. There is no gray when it comes to these things, guys. And as a pastor, I've given my life to see people grow in Christ. I'm not doing this for me. I'm doing this as much as I can for you. Because of what Christ has done in me. And I am a bit of a chop sometimes. I do try my best to be obedient to him. I do. I'm trying to be as generous as I can. I'm trying to enjoy him and take as much joy in what I do and what he's doing in me. I do. There will be moments where we will wobble because we're people and we all know. And she can tell you all those great stories. But I'm trying with everything in me. Are you? We desperately want you to live an abundant, full, glorified, passionate adventure of a life. But he must increase and I must decrease. And so as we break bread, whatever you need to do between you and the Lord, could I ask you to do that? If you need to ask for forgiveness and repentance, do that. If you need to go, God, I'm committing. Whatever it is. And I didn't do this, but the guys have set up a table. I just want you to notice something quickly, and then we're going to. There are three crowns. So one, two, three. Representing, I can't remember now exactly. Representing three congregations coming together. So three crowns on one table. One crown of thorns. Unity. I didn't see that. Someone had to tell me because I'm not that clever. It's beautiful, actually. And so it doesn't matter what congregation you're coming from. It's about you and the Lord tonight. And so, Greg, of awesomeness, there you are, my man. Can you jump on the keys for us and just give us some ambience? Thank you. Ambience. Is he still ambiencing?
Yes.
Let's pray and let's just ask the Lord for this abundant life. Father, thank you for what you're doing, God. And your word says that we've got to break bread in remembrance of what you've done. Tonight we want to remember the triumph and the victory. We want to set ourselves apart again tonight. Because we want to live abundant lives with you. We want to enjoy you. We want to be generous. And we want to be obedient. Help us, Lord. Without your Spirit, it's impossible. But with your Spirit, the Spirit that rose you from the dead, we can have life. Just in the silence, do you just do some reflection with the Lord? Love you, Lord. Love what you do. Thank you for these amazing people. Thank you for the hearts that are crying out to you right now. Thank you that we don't have to do this thing on our own strength. Lord, it's about you. It's about your Spirit. Love you, Lord. Amazing King.